Just a quick reminder, the WFAE Spring Fundraising Campaign is a perfect opportunity for you to financially support the station, and I would really like to encourage you to make a pledge to keep WFAE and Charlotte Talk strong. Call 704-549-9000 or pledge online at WFAE.org. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The impact of the COVID-19 virus, or coronavirus, cannot be denied. Italy has joined China in quarantining 16 million people. And in many places around the world, life as we know it is slowing to a halt. It is being reflected right now in the stock market, and world economies may soon suffer. Financial experts worry about a worldwide recession. As of yesterday, North Carolina is reporting 7 cases, up from 2, none in our immediate area. But there was a report of an airline passenger from South Carolina passing through our airport. Obviously, we should be concerned, we should be vigilant, but we should not panic, and we certainly don't want to cry wolf. So what should we do, and what is being done from a public health perspective here and around the country? Gibby Harris is Mecklenburg County's health director. She is in our Spirit Square studio along with Dr. Daniel Janis, the Carol Grotnes-Belk Distinguished Professor of Bioinformatics and Genomics at UNC Charlotte. Welcome to you both. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Welcome back to you, Doctor. And WFAE's healthcare reporter Claire Donnelly is also with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
If you'd like to join our conversation, email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. Yesterday, as I just said, Gibby, North Carolina was reporting 7 cases of the coronavirus here. All of those are in the Raleigh-Wake County area. Is that correct?
Yes, there was, I believe, one case has been reported in Chatham County, which is right next to Wake.
And there was a report on the Charlotte Observer website last night that a Charlotte woman told healthcare professionals here that she had just returned from Italy in Venice and was showing symptoms in line with coronavirus and was told to self-quarantine at home. Is that true?
We are not confirming the number of individuals who are self-quarantining at this point. That'd be a hard number to keep up with.
But have these people who are self-quarantining, have they been tested? Have they been diagnosed? Or are they just doing that out of an overabundance of precaution?
Depends on the situation. We do have individuals who are coming back from areas around the world. This is an airport where there's lots of heavy travel from all over the world.
Right.
Individuals coming back, especially from countries where we know there are high numbers of cases, are being asked to self-quarantine when they get here and are being tested if they develop symptoms. So far, we have not seen any positive cases in any of those individuals.
Why aren't they being tested simply because they're coming from different places? When in the case of a woman who says, I just got back from Venice and I don't feel well, why wouldn't they immediately test her?
I would imagine that particular case has been tested.
Okay, you just
yes,
don't
that
know.
Should have been tested. The individuals who come back who have just been to those places and are asymptomatic are not automatically tested at this point. And part of that has been because of the lack of testing availability.
But I want to talk about that.
Yes.
I'll get to it in a second. Let me just correct a question to the doctor here. Not a medical doctor, a scientist doctor. There are 7 cases in North Carolina that we know of. That's up from 2. Could there be hundreds of more of these cases? We just don't know.
Yeah, certainly. If you look at the situation,
it's likely that there are hundreds more. We just don't know.
Well, it's hard to guess, but if you look at other examples like South Korea, China, Italy, there are a lot of underlying cases.
Because this virus spreads exponentially, doesn't it? If one person has it, 2 or 3 more will probably be infected?
Yeah, that 2 or 3 is a good estimate. I've seen higher estimates. What you're talking about is the basic reproductive number. I've seen estimates as high as 6, but that's the high end.
And
2, 3 at the low end.
If we experience an exponential explosion of this as time goes on, as other countries have, are we equipped to deal with it, in your opinion?
Well, I think there will be certain pinch points. We know from pandemic preparedness for H1N1, if hospitals are brought to bear, there's not enough ventilators, for example. So we have to stop is much of this from spreading and getting into vulnerable populations.
What are you hearing from area hospitals about preparedness and ability to handle an influx of patients who need this kind of care?
There's a lot of preparation happening right now. Mm-hmm. We've been working with our hospital systems, with our first responders. We actually had a meeting in our emergency operations center yesterday about some of this, making sure that our processes are in place and that we know how people are going to be transported, how they're going to be cared for. Our hospitals are looking at whether they, at some point, depending on what we see in our community, need to open up units where these individuals are cared for. But we do know that this is going to create stresses on the system. Mm-hmm. As the numbers grow, and we expect the numbers to grow. Fortunately, we don't have any cases confirmed in our community at this point.
So yesterday, Governor Roy Cooper declared a state of emergency.
Yes.
We've discussed options with health experts, business leaders, and emergency management here and in other states. The new cases and the advice of these experts have led us to give new guidance to North Carolina residents and to declare a state of emergency for our state.
He sounds very calm, Claire, but states of emergency sound dire to me. So put that declaration into perspective. What exactly
right.
does it mean?
Yeah. We should definitely say that North Carolina is not the first state that has done this. Basically, what it does is free up federal money. So it means North Carolina can ask the federal government for money. Cooper says it will speed up the ability for the state to access medical supplies that it might need, things like more testing kits, things like protective gear for healthcare workers.
So this is exactly like what a governor would do, and governors have done, and our governors have done, in preparation for a hurricane or some kind of a natural disaster like a flood.
Right, exactly. The other thing that it does is it triggers North Carolina's anti-price gouging law. So that means that you can't, as like a vendor, charge exponentially high prices for things. You can't gouge people for things like that they might run out and get toilet paper,
right.
Masks, that kind of thing. It's basically a way for North Carolina to shore up money from federal.
Now, here's something that President Trump has said about this pandemic.
We're prepared and we're doing a great job with it, and it will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away.
Is that true, Doctor? It will go
SARS
away.
SARS is a very close relative of this SARS-CoV-2. Weren't that many cases. It was a lot weaker virus in terms of its reproductive number.
Mm-hmm.
It went away by July in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
H1N1, which is distantly related to coronavirus, this coronavirus infected a lot of people, moved around the world, became a pandemic. It went away in August in the Northern Hemisphere, continued in the summer, Southern Hemisphere, and came back in 2010. So we don't know. That's a research question.
Okay.
To answer your question, but we have examples of it fizzling out and it coming back.
This is the official name of this is a novel coronavirus.
Yeah.
And a novel means new. Does new mean it's a new virus, didn't exist before, a virus that we didn't know existed, a virus that is presenting for the first time in human populations? What does it mean?
I think the latter from a medical perspective is good, but from an evolutionary perspective, it shares common ancestry with both SARS and MERS.
So
closely.
What gives rise to a new virus, and what makes a virus go away?
Well, the newness is it's a novel lineage that for the first time has infected the human population in mass. It may have been happening in small amounts in China. There's anecdotal reports of people who, for some reason, hang out in bat caves being infected, but they are not traveling around the world spreading it, right? So that's very interesting. So that's called spillover. That happens ever so often. And the second part of your question, I think, is, this is novel medically. Nobody's been exposed to this kind of virus before. So unlike influenza, where we might have some immunity and we have tools, vaccines and antivirals, we don't have any of that.
The president, I think, is using the influenza virus as an example when he says it's when the weather gets warm, this will go away, because that's usually what happens to the flu virus. Why does it happen with the flu virus, and how likely is it to happen with this virus?
Well, it doesn't absolutely go away. The prevalence goes lower. You can get a summer cold or flu. Remember, H1N1 emerged in April in the Northern Hemisphere. The physics of respiratory viruses, it's the physics of spit, right? The droplets work better in dry, cold air. And we're more close together. So do more indoor events.
So, Gibby Harris, you have said that if individuals have symptoms like fever, cough, shortness of breath, especially if they came from areas of concern, they should contact their health care provider or the health department first before they seek care. What does that mean? Why?
We are trying to prevent spread, right? That's one of our main efforts right now, is trying to prevent other people from being exposed to people who may be ill. So if they notify us or their healthcare provider or the urgent care or the emergency department or 911 that they may have these symptoms, that they may have been exposed, that allows those systems to be prepared to accept them in a way that keeps them from exposing others. We want to make sure that our first responders are not exposed on a regular basis. We need those folks in the trucks, on the streets. If they become ill, or if they get exposed and we have to quarantine them for 14 days, it takes them out of commission. We don't want that to happen. We don't want our healthcare providers in our hospitals, doctor's offices, urgent cares exposed as well.
And when you say if they came from areas of concern, you're talking about areas where we know the contagion is high, Seattle, Italy, China, places like that.
Where we know we have sustained community transmission are the ones we're worried about the most.
And New Rochelle, let's add that to the list.
There you go. Well, you're not supposed to be able to come in or out of there.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about testing, how you get a test, can you get a test, are tests available, and we'll also talk about some of the things that are already happening in this community to protect people from the spread of this virus. And is it overkill, or are they doing the right thing? It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the coronavirus and preparations in Charlotte-Mecklenburg for this virus. There are no reported cases here. Just on the safe side, we want to talk about it. Gibby Harris is here. She's Mecklenburg County's health director. Daniel Janis is the Carol Grotnus Belk Professor of Bioinformatics and Genomics at UNC Charlotte. He works with this nasty stuff, viruses and things. And Claire Donnelly is our health reporter here at WFAE. This virus is spreading across the United States, obviously. Testing here has been considerably lower than it has been in other countries, and we seem to be loath to use the test that other countries have been successfully using. We want our own test. Those tests have been criticized by people in the government hierarchy at the federal level. But the president insists that anyone who wants to be tested can be tested. That is a quote. Health officials disagree. What's the situation here?
Yes.
If I want a test, can I go to the hospital right now and get one?
No.
Why not?
So let's back up for a second. So right now, Governor Cooper said yesterday, as of midday yesterday, the state of North Carolina has enough tests from the CDC to test about 300 more people. As of around noon, they said that they had tested in the entire state of North Carolina 44 people and that they had 25 people waiting. Now, that's just the state lab, obviously. There are efforts now to kind of expand access to the test. So other companies like North Carolina-based LabCorp are developing ways to do this and make it. They already have actually made testing available. LabCorp has. And Gibby, if you want to jump in here, I don't know. Mecklenburg gets some fraction of those tests from the state of North Carolina, but the trickle-down is very small, so we're only getting like a handful.
So the New York Times reported yesterday that local officials across the country were left to work in the dark as this crisis grew undetected and exponentially, that there are a gazillion cases out there we just don't know because there's no testing. Even now, after weeks of mounting frustration, says the Times, toward federal agencies over flawed test kits and burdensome rules, states with growing cases like New York and California are struggling to test widely for the virus. The continued delays have made it impossible for officials to get a true picture of the scale of this outbreak, which has now spread to 36 states and Washington, D.C. What's the situation? Why can't we get these tests?
So,
and why are we being told we can when we can't?
Well, that's a question for someone else. I don't know why we're being told that, but what we do know on the ground is that the testing has been incredibly limited because the resources aren't available at the state level, haven't been.
Why not?
The CDC put out the original tests, and there were problems with validation on those test results. Mm-hmm. So,
well, how come
they initially put them out and then pulled them back?
They're doing like 100,000 tests a day in Korea. Why can't we use their test?
It's probably the same test. I would imagine that we were not looking at a very different test. It's just that our system didn't ramp up very quickly to be able to manage it.
One of the nation's top experts on viruses from Harvard University appeared on CBS News earlier this week, and here's what he said. And you tell me, both of you, if we should be alarmed by this and if you agree with this. He says that he believes that right now, 40 to 80% of the world's adult population could become infected with this virus. What would it be like if 40 to 80% of Charlotte became infected with this virus?
Well, I want to reemphasize that what we know, based on the numbers that we have available to us, that about 80% of the people that are infected have mild infections. Mm-hmm. So a bad cold, a mild flu, that's what it's going to feel like. And that creates a problem because then we don't know how many people are infected because they don't even pay attention to it. So, number one, I want to level set that. We're not looking at 40 to 80% of Mecklenburg County needing to be hospitalized and on ventilators. But at the same time, because we have not had access to testing, mm-hmm. what we typically do in public health is surveillance to understand what the situation is in our community. And to do that, we have to do testing, and we don't have that. We do that with flu every year to really understand what the level of infection is in our community.
If we have outbreaks here and across the country because we can't get our hands on the tests, who's responsible for that? Why can't we get our hands on the tests? Who's going to get the blame for that?
I would imagine that is going to be blame that's going to be shared across a number of venues, and there are going to be a lot of fingers pointed.
So this Harvard doctor, says that this virus, no matter what ultimately happens, is going to take a toll. He believes, he says, that if his estimate of 40 to 80% of all adults contract this, millions of people will die. And he added, quote, there is real reason for people to be concerned. That's scary stuff. Do you agree with that comment?
Yeah, you're talking about Dr. Lipschitz. He's an extremely bright guy. I was on the conference call with him the other day, weekly. I think he's doing a back of the envelope calculation that doesn't account for much response. So if we respond adequately, we can reduce those deaths.
So how irresponsible is it, in your mind, that we don't have these tests available? And if we had the tests available, would that make the situation better, or would we just be more aware that we have X number of cases?
I think we should be doing all kinds of molecular testing for all kinds of diseases. I've been an advocate for that forever. Yeah, and because we can study the biology of the specific disease, the pathogen itself. The problem with these kind of influenza-like illnesses is we don't know the difference between coronavirus and influenza from symptoms.
So according to the World Health Organization, which says this is not a drill, that countries have plans for these kinds of outbreaks and they should initiate them right now. But according to them, the vast majority of people recover from this virus. People with mild versions recover in 2 weeks. More severe illnesses can take 6 weeks to recover. Yes, people die. But flu kills people every single year as well, and most people recover in about the same amount of time. Does that make this virus worse, or is it about the same, or do we just not know?
I think the challenge that we have right now is because this is a novel virus, no one has immunity, right? So that's why it's spreading through our communities as quickly as it is. We do know we have some specific vulnerable populations, and that's where most of the deaths are occurring. And having the ability to test, especially in those environments, will help us manage that population a little bit better than we've been able to up to this point. So the other thing that testing allows us to do is understand what's going on in our community and implement specific initiatives that are going to help us contain it in whatever population we're seeing it in. Right now, we're having to blanket things because we don't know what's going on. So, you know, canceling big events, closing schools, things like that, some of that is reaction to the fact that we really don't have the good data that we normally have to help us address these types of infections.
Are we clear on how this virus spreads?
Yeah, respiratory droplets.
But okay, but
perhaps surface.
I read that yesterday that you should be that we should increase the space between each other. No shake hands. 6 feet is the transmission area. Even if you're not coughing or sneezing or, to excuse the expression, spittle droplets are not spreading across the room, just because you might be infected, are you shedding the virus in that 6 foot area? Is that what's going? What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, 6 feet, I guess, is the
standard.
It's a rule of thumb. Yeah.
Okay, and we don't know how long it lasts on surfaces because I read yesterday that it lasts 9 days on metal, on paper, on glass, etc.
Yeah.
Are we certain of that?
There are data for MERS, and it is a matter of days. There are no data for novel coronavirus.
What's the flu? 6 to 8 hours? 48 hours on a surface?
Yeah, flu is pretty weak.
Mm-hmm. So this is a virulent virus? Is that what this is?
Virulent probably speaks to the pathogenesis. Yeah.
I'm not a doctor.
It's how bad an infection.
It's different.
Yeah.
So we have no vaccine to protect. Yeah. We have no cure. We have nothing in the pipeline to slow down the progress. There's no Tamiflu.
Well, we have countermeasures such as social distancing, or we've even started to use the word quarantine. That's the first time I've heard it in public health for a long time. And supportive care.
But we have nothing like Tamiflu that can lessen the symptoms once you get it, right?
There are experiments going on with other antivirals trying to be repurposed.
And there was
that work's not done.
There was a news report that says, I think it's in North Carolina, there's a supercomputer at one of the universities in North Carolina, maybe yours, where they're working on digital cures for this. In other words, they're putting the virus through the computer, and the computer is running tests on chemical compounds and drugs that might weaken or kill this virus. How do you do that digitally?
Well, it sounds like a good approach. If you can sort of encapsulate in a computing code the reaction you would want to test, how the small molecule interacts with the surface of the virus and blocks it from replicating itself. If you can encapsulate in that code, you can do it faster than in the lab.
So they've cut off an entire area of northern Italy. You can't go, you can't come, you can't go, you can't leave. It's quarantined. They've done the same thing in New Rochelle, New York, which is astounding to me. Can we do that here? Would we do that here?
It depends on what we have going on in our community. At this point, I don't see that happening.
Because we have no infections here.
Exactly. We have no infections here. So moving forward, there's layers of guidance that we're getting. So we get guidance from the CDC. At this point, we have not gotten specific guidance from the CDC or from the federal government about social distancing or about canceling events. We were told a week and a half ago that we'd have that guidance soon, and we have not gotten it yet.
Is that because they don't know yet? Because it's so new, they don't know how to. They don't want to give out wrong information, so they haven't given out any information.
Well, I think
something else going on.
I think it's probably a combination of things. I do think that one of the things that's happening in this particular situation is it's not just a public health issue. It's not just a health issue. It's an economic issue. It's a political issue. And all of those forces are coming to bear on decisions that are being made.
Speaking of politics, both Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders last night canceled rallies in Ohio. After the Big Tuesday results were released, they canceled them because of a fear of this. And Joe Biden gave a kind of a victory speech in front of staffers in an empty room. I mean, is that where we're headed? Are local people planning the same things?
I mean, I think what I've been hearing from local officials is that they're kind of waiting to see. I think a lot of people, like Gibby was saying, are taking precautionary blanket measures because we don't really understand how it spreads. We don't know how many people in Mecklenburg County could be infected and don't know they're infected, and we have no way to test to help prevent spread kind of proactively. So, and actually just this morning or just last night, CMS has canceled all of their school-sponsored trips, even kind of across the Charlotte area, like within Mecklenburg County. CMS is not doing field trips anymore. I haven't heard of any major Charlotte events being canceled.
Yet, that could definitely change.
Right.
The conversations are happening, but
and that's what I'm hearing is that, you know, they're in constant communication with each other. They're watching the CDC.
I think it was in Europe. I can't remember. The news cycle moves so fast that I'm too old to keep up. But the sporting events were being played in Europe to empty arenas.
Italy.
The television cameras were
absolutely
there. That was it.
Well, and there's been discussion about whether they do that with the Final Four or, I mean, they're...
Because we're approaching March Madness here, and that's serious business in North Carolina.
It is serious business. A lot depends on what you're seeing in your community. You need to consider the epidemiology that's happening in a setting before you make some of those decisions.
Well,
but you've got to be prepared to make those decisions, and those conversations are happening.
In
right
declaring
now.
His state of emergency yesterday, which once again is more about federal dollars being released than it is to say we're in dire straits here. Be careful. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch anybody. Don't do anything. That's not what this is about. But Governor Cooper asked people to avoid large gatherings. But that he was not asking that big events like the ACC tournament be canceled, but he did call for lenient refund policies. And then he said he would be attending because he's not in an at-risk group, but that those that are should be more careful. At-risk people are young children and particularly older people over 65.
Well, actually, right? With this group, young children are not even in a high-risk group. We're seeing that our youth are not terribly adversely affected.
Okay.
They can be carriers, which is one concern, because, you know, you have a kid in school that, you know, say we close the schools. Parents still need to work. So who's going to take care of the kids? The grandparents. They're the ones that are in the high-risk groups. So we need to be thinking about all of those sorts of things. We are starting to have conversation with our long-term care facilities about how they handle visitation.
But is it a mixed message for the governor to say, don't go to large gatherings, but I'm going because I'm not an at-risk group?
I think he was saying kind of use your own best judgment of whether you feel like you are at high risk. If you have something like COPD or asthma or some underlying respiratory issue, don't go, just out of an abundance of caution. I don't think he was saying, you know, across the board, don't go, but also I'm going.
So when we come back, we'll talk about public health access, access to care, I guess is the way to say it, and talk some more about events and gatherings and what precautions should be taken. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Charlotte Talks has covered a lot of ground just this year. Presidential politics, healthcare, the funding crisis in the arts community, the economy, and much more. You come to us to be informed, and right now, WFAE is coming to you for your financial support during our spring membership campaign. Hit the donate button on the WFAE app or online at WFAE.org. You can also call us at 704-549-9000, and thanks so much for your support.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about coronavirus preparations being made in Mecklenburg County, the availability of testing, et cetera. There are no known cases in Mecklenburg County, only, I think, 7 in all of North Carolina, and all of those people are in isolation. Gibby Harris is with us. She is the Mecklenburg County Health Director, Daniel Janis. Dr. Daniel Janis is a Carol Grotnus Belk Professor of Bioinformatics and Genomics at UNC Charlotte, and Claire Donnelly is our health reporter here at WFAE. The Centers for Disease Control, Claire, recommends daily cleaning of high-touch surfaces like countertops, doorknobs, keyboards, mice, little computer mouse, bathroom fixtures. And we have a question from Jane who says, which sanitizers work on the coronavirus? Is alcohol, Quats, which we'll talk about in a second, or bleach effective?
Right. So the CDC has been saying hand sanitizer with 60% alcohol content or higher is what you should be using in your hand sanitizer. Anything less than that, jury's kind of out from what I've been reading. Bleach, Gibby, I'm not sure what it, I know some of previous coronaviruses have responded to bleach, but I'm not sure about
The recommendation is the basic cleaning tools that we currently use. So the problem is if you go to the grocery store, you will not find Clorox wipes on the, but a mixture of one part Clorox to 10 parts water will do the same thing.
On a paper towel or something else.
Exactly.
Ration your cleaning supplies.
Use them judiciously.
The emailer wanted to know about Quartz cleaners, which I'd never heard of. I'll tell you what it says here. We Googled it. We sat here and Googled our producers Googled it. Quaternary ammonium compounds are potent disinfectant chemicals commonly found in disinfectant wipes, sprays, and other household cleaners that are designed to kill germs. It's often the stuff that allows a product to claim to be antibacterial. This is a virus, not a bacteria, as they are certified by the EPA as pesticides. So there you go. Dr. Wesley Burks, who is the CEO of UNC Healthcare, says we must start removing barriers to care, Claire. I suppose those would include the ability to take sick days if you've used them up at work or if you don't get them in the first place because you're an hourly employee, access to health care. Have you spoken to businesses around the area about what they're willing to do for employees who may have to take time off because of this?
Right, yeah. I think, again, everyone is kind of operating in a as-needed situation, in a kind of preemptive, if we have employees that are worried about possibly having been exposed, then the employee should reserve the right to self-quarantine.
Because you may not be sick. You may not be exhibiting symptoms, but you may be around a family member who is.
Right. It is also worth noting, and this actually, interestingly, just this morning, it has come out that like an investigative journalism conference that was last week, I believe, in New Orleans, that someone that had attended that conference tested presumptively positive for the new coronavirus. And so the Charlotte Observer employees today are working from home. I think it's just a question of what can your company do?
In the interest of full disclosure, if we have to talk about the Observer, we have to talk about us.
Yes, we do have to talk about us.
Because one of our producers went to Seattle over the weekend, and I was
brilliant choice.
I was reading up on this, Gibby, and you had said, I wouldn't go to Seattle. So we have quarantined him. He's working from home for the next 10 days, I think, just on a precautionary basis.
We should disclose that, yes. And WFAE at the studios, we've definitely upped our cleaning, upped our availability of hand sanitizer. I think everybody, if you have the means to do it, should do it.
And you've been in contact with CMS, and you've been in contact with the airport and other areas in terms of what they are doing in their cleaning protocols. What are they doing?
Yeah, so one thing that's pretty interesting is cats. So obviously a lot of people are taking public transit, light rail, buses, that kind of thing. CAT says that it's implementing what it calls contamination protocols. So they're sanitizing all of the cars of all the light rails and fogging them to sort of get rid of bacteria, viruses, germs.
It's sterile for a nanosecond. They open the doors, people get in, and if this stuff lasts on surfaces for 9 days, it's on the surface. Are we kidding ourselves, Doctor?
No, I think you can be careful, and that's what your responsibility is to yourself and your family and others. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're in, if this stuff stays on metal surfaces, and gosh knows not everybody can always sit on a bus or sit on a rail car, you hang on to the metal straps. Mm-hmm. And somebody with a virus has touched that metal strap, you touch it, it's automatically transmitted to you?
No. Wash your hands before you eat, before you touch your face, before you interact with others.
So if it's on your hand, nothing's going to happen to you unless you touch your face.
Not transmitted that way. It is not transmitted through your hand. But this goes back to all the things that we've been telling people they need to do, is wash your hands frequently and cover your cough, and making sure that you're not touching your face, which we all have a tendency to do.
All the time.
I'm pushing my glasses up. I'm
scratching your nose.
Exactly. And we're in the middle of allergy season. It's just kicking in. So people are, scratchy eyes, so it's just human nature to be having your hands on your face. Those are the sorts of things you need to avoid to protect yourself. So it's not that you shouldn't ride on a bus or on light rail. It's just what you do when you get off.
The cruise industry and the travel industry is being already severely impacted by this. It's crushing, as a matter of fact. And I saw a clip of a woman boarding a cruise ship just 2 days ago. even though she knew that people are saying don't go on a cruise, she said she was with her family. Her kids were right in front of her on television. She says, we have Clorox wipes. We'll rub everything down and we won't touch the rails. Is she kidding herself?
Yeah, I mean, look at what we've seen already from norovirus outbreaks on cruise ships. There's something special about that environment. You're cooped
up. A lot of people in
the people serving you are cooped up. Imagine below decks.
Even if you don't become infected, you may very well be quarantined on that cruise ship.
Spring,
so it depends on what you're willing to do.
It isn't just the final four or not. It's spring break, yes. So talk about this, because a lot of college kids get on an airplane and they go to the beach, wherever that beach may be, and they hang out in big groups together and have a good time. And Anna says, my college student mentioned this to me yesterday and has me concerned. Many students at her school are going to California and other states. What will happen when they return to North Carolina? The young population may not show symptoms right away and will likely not self-quarantine after returning from a state where the virus is spreading rapidly. Is this advisable?
So I will say that a lot of schools, I think, in North Carolina and across the country are grappling with this question. Duke says that it's now going to do online-only classes until further notice. And the president sent out a note last night saying, please don't come back to campus if that's at all possible. Because, again, a lot of people in close quarters, kids who have been traveling across the U.S., across, the world, as you were saying, So I think, a lot of schools, I know UNC Charlotte is going to have, or the UNC system is going to have a meeting this morning to kind of talk through how they want to handle it. Also worth noting, Duke extended its spring break. So they were supposed to come back earlier. They're now not coming back until March 22nd to resume class. But again, it will be online classes. So I think a lot of people are kind of considering how can we, like working from home, do classes online.
What are you hearing from CMS?
About their
plans how would they decide, when would they decide whether normal classes can continue?
Yeah, I'm not sure about. I don't know.
Because other colleges and universities, I think the University of North Carolina, I know you cannot speak, doctor, to what the university has decided or any policy, because that's not your job. But what have you heard about the university? Are they in the process of making plans just in case?
Yes, there's a meeting today with President Roper
to
coordinate across the UNC system.
Okay.
To be consistent. And we're having regular conversations with CMS.
And
almost daily.
Would the private schools follow CMS?
The private schools might react before CMS does. It would not surprise me if some of the private schools may decide to go to online classes only, even before CMS does.
Brian emails, can your guests on the show today respond to thoughts or suggestions regarding those of us living in Charlotte having guests stay in our homes from outside the area? Example, Charlotte Airbnb, host shared home, having out-of-state visitors stay in their home, particularly from New York or other hotspots. Should those places continue to do that during this?
Again, I think those are individual decisions at this point that people are going to have to make. I think they ought to think about it critically in terms of where individuals are coming from. And again, it's not just a matter of whether the state's quarantined, but it's a matter of sustained transmission in that community.
What do you know about what hotels and motels are doing in terms of cleaning and protecting guests?
All we know at this point is that they're continuing to clean the way they normally do. I have not heard anything that indicates that they're doing anything more extensively than that. Our recommendations are that in any environment like that, whether it's schools, the school buses, hotels, that they are doing thorough cleaning in between situations.
There's been some discussion in the national media about access to health care, that this virus people may need to use health care, and they don't know what the copay is on some of these. I think that if you get a test, some of these insurance companies have waived the copay on the test. But just access to a doctor is a struggle for a lot of people. Taking a sick day is impossible for a lot of people. And if people have to be quarantined in a hospital or be on a ventilator, we're talking major dollars. Are we at risk because this country does not have a national health care policy? people won't get help.
That is a major concern.
Is this the nexus? Is this going to be the decide? If this thing breaks out to the degree that it has broken out elsewhere, is this going to be the straw that broke the camel's back? Is this going to move the health care discussion to where we have to, where we all see, well, yeah, we got to have universal health care?
I think it's going to feed the conversation. I really do. I mean, we're having conversations right now about testing. And how do we make sure that people who don't have insurance have access to testing, just like people who do? And so the testing piece, we're already having that conversation. But the next step is really the healthcare situation and people accessing care, people staying home when they're sick, even if they don't have insurance. And that it is our individuals who make less money and who live in poverty that are really going to hurt from this situation.
You run the health department, and a lot of people who are low income use you as their physician.
Yes.
Are you able to, would you be able to handle this?
Well, number one, we don't have hospital beds and we don't have ventilators.
Right.
So we don't do that kind of care. I mean, what we're doing is ramping down some of the services that we provide so that we can deal with the surge that we might experience.
This coronavirus outbreak is already 10 times bigger than SARS, doctor, and more widespread. It's not as well under control. Is that because we didn't see this coming, because it's a new virus, because of the virulence of the virus and how easily it's transmitted? Why?
Sort of all of the above. We actually, in the scientific literature, there are papers, ours in 2008 up through 2013, warning of such an event. But
there was a movie warning of such an event.
Yeah, well, that's fiction.
There were several.
There's verified, peer-reviewed scientific research that says this is coming. But that doesn't spark the interest of many lawmakers. I have spoken to them. There has been some action, but it comes and goes. There's no concerted action.
I got 30 seconds. Are there things that we should be doing as individuals right now to protect ourselves?
Stay home if you're sick.
Yeah.
Wash your hands regularly. Soap and water is great.
Yeah.
I mean, the Purell and things like that are good to have, but soap and water is the best bet.
For 20 seconds, and they say sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and that will get you the 20 seconds. And in our ladies' room at WFAE,
yes,
they have posted various songs you can sing.
There are a number of different songs.
By Lizzo's chorus is 20 seconds long exactly.
If you prefer Prince or Beyonce, there's a number of those that are
Prince,
out there.
There are plenty of lists.
There you go. Don't sing the Charlotte Talks thing. Gibby, it only lasts 6 seconds. Gibby Harris, Mecklenburg County Health Department Director, Daniel Janis from UNC Charlotte, and Claire Donnelly, our health reporter at WFAE. Stay healthy. Thank you all for the hour. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.